Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines, Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, Matt. When you were talking about redistricting and all that went on behind closed doors in the Walker years, one thing that went on that was just, I believe, highly illegal, correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe I misunderstood it, so help me. But when the recall, they published a list of the people that voted to recall Walker. And if I understand it correctly, some people were fired for the way they voted. Is that correct?
I think that's true. I don't know how widespread it was. I'll give you one example, Bill. It is true that the names were all published, and it went both ways. There were some areas where, in Democratic areas, if your name wasn't on the list, people thought you were soft on Walker and it could hurt you. There were people in Madison, for instance, and parts of the east side of Milwaukee who'd put signs up in their businesses saying, you know, I stand, you know, with the, you know, teachers on Act 10 or, you know, yet. But in the other areas, I think that's true. I think, and I'll give you an example. There was a kid who was proposed to be the student regent on the Board of Regents of the University of Wisconsin. I think he was an engineering student from Platteville, good kid. He signed the recall. And when that was pointed out, Walker yanked him and cost him his student regent position. At least one of the regents is a student. Cost him that. I know that happened. I do not know chapter and verse on the other. But I do know, and frankly, this ties into a bigger issue, why I oppose caucuses, like in Iowa, and think there should be primaries where you go in and vote in private. Because in small towns in Iowa, if you showed up and then you caucus with one of the Democrats, that could cost you your job in some of those small towns. So there was an economic consequence. I think that that's true. There was a company in Milwaukee where the CEO, just before an election, would send out a letter to all the employees saying that if the Democrat wins, we may have to close and go to Mexico because of their bad policies. In my view, that's a criminal interference with the election. I think it's in bad faith. He's also reputed to have driven around trying to see people's lawn signs, you know, what lawn signs they have. There is that possibility for retaliation. I do not know individual examples other than the student regent that lost his position, but there's no doubt in my mind that if you're in some town, a conservative area of the state, and you're on there to recall him, that's not going to help you in your job. Can't help you in your job. So, Bill, thanks for calling in. Excellent point. Excellent, excellent point. Getting back to the Arizona statutes that are attacked in the Supreme Court, the House passed H.R. 1. The House has H.R. 1, the first bill. There's a Senate Bill 1, too. I should say 1 also, SB 1. And what this does, it's an ethics and election reform bill. It's terrific. And what it does is make sure that there's standardized protocols around the country in federal elections. The U.S. government can do that. Congress can do that. Biden would sign it. The House would go. It'll attract at least 50 votes and Kamala Harris in the Senate. The problem is now with the filibuster, it requires 10 Republicans, and you're not going to get Cruz, and you're not going to get Wormwood, Lindsey Graham, and you're not going to get Hawley and people like and Ron Johnson. But what it would do would be, you know, it's going to rate you. There are going to be drop boxes, absentee ballots, mailing, all every regulation on all this stuff to make it easier to vote. Easier to vote. Republicans are countering that in the state legislatures by making it hard to vote. No drop boxes, no mail-in, unless you're a cadaver practically lying there gasping with tubes in your nose. Maybe then the doctor signs an affidavit. Georgia, you can't do it on Sundays, early voting, because that's when they have souls to the polls. We got to stop this stuff. Got to stop the stuff where there are 8-hour lines in urban areas. Should be a uniform number of voting machines per 10,000 people. Uniform number of drop boxes. Make it easier to vote. That's H.R. 1. I have a proposal in the Senate. It'll come up in the Senate. It'll get 50 Democratic votes. It might get one or two Republican votes. It might get somebody like Romney, Collins, and Murkowski. It might not, but maybe it will. It's not going to get 60. You know what I'd do if I were Schumer? Because you cannot get Manchin to agree to get rid of the filibuster. They could get, here's the funny thing. The filibuster takes 60 votes to pass legislation, but you can get rid of the filibuster with 51 votes. That's the paradox, including Kamala Harris. If all 50 Democrats would go along with it, we'd get rid of the filibuster. Manchin won't. So here's what I do. I go to Manchin. I'd say, look, we're not going to get rid of it, but on a case-by-case basis, if they are obstructing, we will. And then I go to Moscow Mitch. Say, Moscow Mitch, on HR1, now it's SB1, voting reform. You're going to vote for it, or we're going to ram it through and suspend the filibuster for this bill only. This bill only. Manchin might go for that. Moscow Mitch might say, well, I don't want it suspended for everything else. So, okay, we'll vote for it now, give you 10 votes. And then if you promise in the future on other stuff, you're going to observe it. And it has to be an extreme thing where our people are obstructing. That's an idea. We're going to the lines. Chuck of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Chuck?
Yeah, I just had a really quick question. For those of us that kind of aren't political junkies, can you describe the gerrymandering for us? I understand it's rewriting the maps to your own advantage, but how does it work exactly?
Yeah, and here's how it works. You'd think, okay, well, here's how it works. They know there are a lot of Democratic votes out there. They know that there are a majority of Democratic votes in the state. So what they do is, in Milwaukee and Madison districts, you'll have districts that are 80% Democrat. They lump them all in, 90%. So if you're a Democrat in Madison or Milwaukee and have the nomination, you could be in prison. You could be on life supports. You could be almost a cadaver, and you're going to win. Then what they do in the Republican districts, they don't make them 90% or 80%. They make them 55%. So then they bleed a lot of other Democrats in, but they still keep a majority. So somebody like a Voss down in the Mount Pleasant area, or people like Tiffany and Hazelhurst and so on. These are not 90% districts. So they'll bleed in some Democrats that could have made another district. And it's called cracking and packing. So you pack Democrats into a few, to a minority number of districts and make them overwhelmingly Democratic. And that's why, frankly, you get some legislators in Milwaukee, but mostly in Madison, who frankly could not get elected in a normal district where you had it like 52, 48, or 51, 47, the two extreme. But on the Republican side, they are in 55, 45 districts, or 56, 44, or 53, 47. You might say, hey, Chuck might say, Matt might say, hey, well, good Democrat could overcome that. Well, no, he can't. That's a huge, huge wind in your face. And so they win. And that's how they do it, cracking and packing. They manipulate the lines around in very strange areas. Some states, they have a barbell. It'd be sort of like, you'd have Madison and Milwaukee in a real skinny line in between that's 2 miles wide. That's not what they do here because they have enough other ways to do it. But that is what they do. Chuck, thanks a lot for calling in, cracking and packing. We're coming to the end of the show. Matt Flynn Direct. We have some great programming coming up all day. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Crute, Earl Ingram, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, Jeff Santos on Tuesday, Busted Pencils, Saturday's Ask the Builder with Al Bachman, Sharp Elbows, Let's Get Local, Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike, one of my favorites, Max Inc. Radio. There's a lot more Max Inc. There's a lot more Matt Flynn Direct coming up tomorrow. Same time, same place. Matt Flynn signing off.